Hey, hey. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Yet another edition of After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I just put this on Twitter, but I sometimes wonder how the dinners that I choose affect my brain power and my ability to communicate effectively when I sit down here in this chair. I mean, I don't know if the location matters really anymore. Well, it does to me. It probably doesn't matter to you. But tonight it was a balanced dinner of goldfish. I know I'm pathetic. Whatever. You don't have to send me your tweets. Don't at me. But it's better than the popcorn I've already eaten for dinner two other nights this week. Oh my gosh. This whole thing of going back and forth to work from one house and try to clean up the other one. But mostly it's just the moving. Gosh, there's stuff everywhere. It took me 3 days to find my can opener, but at least I finally found my can opener earlier today. Oh, one night this week I had peanut butter and jelly. So that's four of the, I guess this is night number four, right? So I've had peanut butter and jelly once, popcorn twice, and goldfish tonight for dinner. I also did bring a box of cereal. I still have some milk in the fridge.
Goldfish.
I have milk in the fridge. And so I brought the cereal with me and the blueberries, and I had to make sure to grab a bowl and a spoon because I didn't have either one here in the house. I'm a disaster right now. Oh my gosh. I know some of you have mentioned that you've also moved recently, so you understand. It's hard enough to get one meal together. Forget two or three balanced meals when you've got boxes everywhere. And as I've mentioned, the kitchen is a bit of a cleaning challenge. So I'm here. I've got goldfish and cereal and blueberries will be the snack during a break. Don't yell at me. Okay. I have a mom. I don't need you all to pretend to be my mom. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We've got a couple of real good guests lined up for this show. We've got the latest in Major League Baseball. We've also got a cool question that I want to turn around and flip after it was posed to me by a listener on our hump show as part of Ask Amy Anything. So I was really intrigued by it. It made me think, and though I had to deliver an answer on the spot, and I actually gave one answer first and then changed it, I've thought about it a lot over the last, let's say 20 hours, and I'm ready to pose the question to you. So looking forward to doing that. Despite the fact that sports has been spotty, sporadic, strange this spring over the last 3.5 months, you all have continued to make use of our social media. I mean, our numbers on Facebook are astronomical. So I get that there are people who are out of their regular work routines, who are staying up later, maybe getting up earlier, maybe not sleeping at all. That's actually one of my issues. When I have a lot on my mind, as I have the last couple of weeks, it feels like a month since I've slept a full 8 hours. And so my brain just goes and goes and goes. And sometimes I can't sleep even if I'm exhausted. So whatever the reason, we have seen, I mean, humongous numbers on our Facebook page. Twitter, everyone hates everyone. I often say that Facebook is where everyone is uber happy. My life is perfect. My life is wonderful. Ooh, look at my amazing pictures of my family. Where Twitter is the complete opposite. It's like Facebook is the bright white light and Twitter is the darkness of hell. Oh my gosh. They couldn't be more opposite in terms of their tone and the way that people use them. So on Twitter, it's a lot of darkness and a lot of people just unfollowing because they don't like anything you do, which is okay. I'm happy to give any of you who'd like to volunteer my followers and you can deal with the darkness. Anyway, so on Facebook, we've seen great traffic and I appreciate that so many of you have taken the time to keep up with us. And also, if you are on Twitter and you don't mind having a respectful and pleasant conversation, I'm all about that. We've also got our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's always toll free. Get you inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. I wonder what they would say if I called and asked for help getting a balanced dinner. They would probably laugh at me. Everyone else is laughing at me. Gee, my family is laughing at me over the things that I'm cleaning. I said to them, yeah, you'll laugh until you show up and you see what the house looks like. Normally, I am over the moon excited when my family is visiting, and I am really thrilled to see my mom. She couldn't care less. She's going to show up like a cyclone and is going to help me get through the worst of the unpacking and the cleaning. So she's going to keep me going and motivated. It's truth be told, really my sister-in-law and my nieces that I'm worried about. They're taking vacation days on Monday to come visit, and it's hard to get my older niece away from her boyfriend for even 5 hours, forget 3 days. And my younger niece generally doesn't have a lot of motivation to do much of anything. And then there's my sister-in-law, who is the cleanest person on the planet. So I fear when they show up, they may never come back. This could be their last visit ever. So I don't know if any of you have a family stress like this, but normally I'm psyched about vacation, and I'm looking forward to seeing them. I really am. I'm just worried that they're going to be really disappointed in me and never visit again.
Goldfish.
I could offer them goldfish for dinner. Oh, no. Oh, no, that's not helpful. Stop it, goldfish guy. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so we have to start with Major League Baseball. I know. It's worse than eating goldfish for dinner. I'm trying to be optimistic. Maybe that's naive of me. It probably is. I'm trying to be optimistic and believe that they are inching, and I mean baby steps. Heck, babies crawl faster than they are moving toward each other. My dog, she used to chase rabbits, squirrels, chipmunks, everything, and she would catch them. She doesn't do anything with them. She just likes to catch them. She doesn't do that anymore. Now she just looks at them. And if she takes a step toward them, just, you know, if they don't move right away, she'll kind of take a couple steps toward them. Major League Baseball isn't moving as fast as my 11-year-old dog does when now she is checking out a rabbit. This is the latest proposal from the owners. A 60-game season at full prorated salaries. So remember, they were somewhere between 45 and 50. The problem was, as we talked about with Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe on last night's show, if the owners had stalled long enough, maybe a week or two, and then tried to mandate via Commissioner Rob Manfred a 50-game season, 45 to 50-game season, they would have had a grievance filed against them. Bad faith negotiating, yada, yada, yada. All the things that the players have accused them of doing over the past month or so. But this represents a significant step forward for the owners, because they're no longer asking the players to take anything less than their actual salaries, prorated, of course, so you get paid for the games you play. And it's 60 games, and even more importantly, Commissioner Rob Manfred and the union executive director, Tony Clark, met in person. At the commissioner's request, according to reports, they met in Phoenix. This is a big deal. They actually met in person. Now, Rob Manfred just said on Monday, he told ESPN, Mike Greenberg, on Monday, that he had not spoken to Tony Clark in quite a while, in weeks, in person, that they had not seen each other, that these negotiations were not taking place in person. But now we find out there was, in fact, a meeting between the two in Phoenix. Clark showed up at Manfred's request, and USA Today insider Bob Nightingale has the deets.
It helped big time with, you know, finally a first face-to-face meeting between Rob Manfred and Tony Clark. And they shook hands last night and said, let's bring the framework of a deal to our constituents. MLB owners are all for it. the union, well, they're still a problem. They want more than 60 games. They probably want closer to 70.
Bob Nightingale says it's not done. And if you read any of the reports out there, whether it's online, whether it's simply social media, that part is important to underscore. No deal is done. However, Manfred and Clark believe they at least have a skeleton of a deal in place. Okay, so they still have to present it to the players. The players very well could reject it and say, nope, that's still not enough games. Because there are some players who are saying, what's 60 games? It's 10 more than your last proposal, so it's not like you're paying us that much more money. But I would say the major concession is that the owners are no longer asking them to take a pay cut. They've given up on that. They've come down off that hill. They're not willing to die on that hill. Even though there have been reports in the last couple of days that there are up to 8 owners who are happy with no season, that feel like it's not even worth it to have a season because of the money they will lose. But here they are presenting again. So in this very expensive game of chicken, the owners blink first, and they offer a proposal that includes the full salaries. Under the March agreement, full salaries. Now, both sides have got their leakers. Their leakers to the media. So lest you think that one side is leaking more than the other, no, they're both making good use of their leakers and becoming sources. Both sides are saying that the more they talk, the closer they'll get to about 65 games. Is that enough for the players? We will find out. But Rob Manfred said on Wednesday, at my request, Tony Clark and I met for several hours in Phoenix. We left that meeting with a jointly developed framework that we agreed could form the basis of an agreement and subject to conversations with our respective constituents. I summarized that framework numerous times in the meeting and sent Tony a written summary today. So he says now it's up to us to go back to our peeps. My word, not his. Rob Manfred says he's encouraging the teams to move forward. So remember, Manfred as a commissioner is the CEO. The owners hire him. They could fire him. But he answers to them. But he can also make suggestions as the CEO. He expects Tony Clark to do the same with the players. So this would be the fourth proposal from the owners. The players' union has submitted 2 of its own. This is now a half dozen proposals. And before this latest proposal that came out of their in-person meeting, they were about $1 billion, the B word, $1 billion apart in terms of their salary. All right, so they're inching ever closer. Is it close enough for the players? Remember, the union cut off talks and said anything else is futile. Manfred backtracked about his confidence, his 100% confidence that there would be a season in 2020. So there are other pieces of the proposal. I don't know that they're extremely important, but they would play under this proposal. Now, if they end up adding a few more games, it'll take away their off days. But they would start on July 19th. Seems like such a random day. But they would start on July 19th. Incidentally, and maybe this is why, Friday is July 19th. June 19th, excuse me. Friday is June 19th, so it would be a month. July 19th is a Sunday. So it would be just over 4 weeks if they agreed to a deal by Friday. I don't know that that's possible. Certainly seems ambitious now. And yet, as we hear from Bob Nightingale, who was a guest on the Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio, there is a little more hope than there was before Wednesday.
I thought it could be done, you know, by tomorrow night, by Friday. I'm not sure. It may drag through the weekend now. If baseball, if the union wants 70 games instead of 60, that's still a lot more money. So, then the owners will probably say, well, that's the case. You're not going to get the playoff money, things like that.
So there still is some major wiggle room here. I could see why if the owners want 60, the players want 70, they settle at 65. Remember, the original owner's proposal was for 82. The original player's proposal was for 114. And so they've come way down from that. And that, of course, is because the players say they're not taking pay cuts. And so the owners have drastically reduced the number of games that they are willing to fund without fans in the stands. And for the most part, these will be all games without fans. Maybe by the end of the season, there are some locations where fans are allowed in limited capacity, but at least for now, they stand to lose a lot of money. And so, you know, the owners have put the pocketbooks first, as have the players, but they're closer. So now what? This would be 60 games over 70 days. If they go to 65, 70 days-ish, start on July 19th or thereabouts, there would be expanded playoffs. Right now, at least according to Pete Abraham, the pieces are already in place. The details have already been agreed to when it comes to health and safety protocols. What's left is money, and money then dictates the number of games. I don't know if that means anything to you. I don't know if you care. I don't know if it matters. If they don't get a deal done by the end of the week, I think there are more and more people who are ready to just wash their hands of the whole thing. And by that, I mean fans, even diehard fans. It's left such a bad taste, and it's been such a bad look. And it's clear that it's very self-absorbed, selfish, that these players and owners don't care as much about the fans as they do about their pocketbooks. And that's just obvious. There's no way they can defend it any other way. They can't spin it any other way. We've seen this stalemate, this fight laid bare. We know all the gory details. They cut this open. They gutted it right in front of us. So we can see all of the innards, all the insides. It's like a dysfunctional family. Oh, I'll use my Facebook example. When people post on Facebook, oh, we're so happy. Here's my perfect family. Here's our lovely children. Here's our great perfect photos. And if you actually know them, I mean, no family is ever perfect, right? So on the outside, we saw this perfect family, Major League Baseball, the players, they were all about being part of the healing process. They agreed to something in March in which they would have prorated salaries, yada, yada, yada. It looked so nice. They were all getting along. It was the perfect photo on Facebook, framed. The lighting was wonderful. It made us smile, almost made us jealous because our lives aren't nearly as perfect as theirs. Oh, and then they were exposed. And now we all know what it's like behind the curtain. We all know what it's like. Do you guys remember the scene at the beginning of Empire Strikes Back, those of you who are Star Wars nerds, where Han Solo had to gut the Tauntaun because he found Luke frozen near death in this, well, it was nighttime, really cold. It was gross, and yet it was necessary, and it stunk, and all his innards came flying out, but you know, it was necessary to keep Luke warm. That part's not really important. But we got to see the innards and the gore of Major League Baseball. And I don't know that you could put the innards back into the Tauntaun.
Unfortunately, I can't tell you that I'm 100% certain that's going to happen.
You cannot get us to unsee what we have seen. It's not possible. We know all of your gory details now. All right, question inspired by a listener. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later. Eric Smith, play-by-play voice of the NBA champion Toronto Raptors. And we're also going to talk about the return of soccer. So Orlando is going to be a very busy place, not just for the NBA. MLS is going to beat the NBA there and have its World Cup-style tournament. What will this look like? What happens after that? So we got a lot to do on this edition of the show. I'm fueled by the goldfish. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Goldfish.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Swung on, hit high and deep. Right field, Aquino back, track. Wall leaps and gone. Bryce Harper has homered to right. A two-run home run. It's the third of the day for the Phillies and the 30th of the year for Harper.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Scott Fransky on the Phillies Radio Network. On tomorrow night's show, a conversation with a former NFL offensive lineman. I did happen to bring up the fact he played for the Eagles for a long time. I did happen to bring up the fact that Bryce Harper was interested in playing for the Eagles instead. Some of the funniest stuff you will ever hear. I mean, I was laughing so hard. Again, this is a former NFL offensive lineman, former Pro Bowler, and you'll hear that conversation coming up on tomorrow night's show. And the idea of Bryce Harper as a football player nearly sent him into orbit. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. You're going to need it. 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Inspired by a listener who submitted a question for Ask Amy Anything, I'm flipping this around and posing it to you because it really made me think, and I may want to change my answer. I mean, I like the answer I gave, but you never know. I might like to change my answer. Girls are allowed to change their minds. You know, it's one of our rites of passage for our gender. So a listener asked me on last night's show, if you could pick any event. Now, I'm going to span it to any stadium, court, arena. So any sporting venue or any particular event. And you could be the only fan in the entire venue. What would you choose? And originally I said something about the NBA Finals. And then I decided, no way, that's not a large enough venue. So I changed it. And I decided college football national championship game. Could you imagine? That would be a story. The only person in the stands. Think about what you'd hear, what you'd see. Or how about just another huge regular season game, a rivalry? Whether it's the Iron Bowl, whether it's Ohio State, Michigan, and I've been to Bedlam, which is Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Texas. I've been to that one as well. Whatever you think about is the biggest rivalry in college football. And there are many. Those are just a handful. Don't at me. I'm over the adding. Which one would you choose? Any venue, any event in sports, and you're the only fan allowed. Where would you go? What would you see? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And I just gave you the phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Would you like some good news before I tell you what happened with my dog today? The PGA Tour is going into its event at Hilton Head, South Carolina. They're getting set to tee off on Thursday morning. Harbortown Golf. It's been a day. It's been a week. Harbortown Golf Links. When I was on vacation in Hilton Head last May, I remember driving by signs for it. For the second straight week, Colonial in Fort Worth last week, Hilton Head this week, nearly 1,000 COVID-19 tests, all of them negative. How about that? That is great news. That indicates to you that the PGA, the PGA golfers, the athletes, the caddies, the family members, the tour personnel, they're doing everything they possibly can to stay safe, to be considerate of all of the other people that they are around, even with distance. It's not always possible to keep 6 feet. They're being smart and they're putting the sport first. 954 tests over 2 weeks. Not one of them positive. That gives me great hope. And I know it's not optimal. It's not optimal for them to spend so much time isolated. It's not optimal for them to not be able to have their PR people, maybe their swing coaches, yoga instructors, whatever it is. It's not what they're used to. It's not what they're used to on the course, having to pull their own clubs. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but these guys get into a pattern. They have muscle memory. There's a rhythm to it. And so they've had to change all of that. Caddies too. The job is different now. And yet they have put the tour, their jobs, their livelihood, and their coworkers, their friends, their bosses, they've put all of that ahead of themselves. So if they can do it, basketball can do it too. Soccer can do it too. Whatever is necessary, it can be done. It may not be your favorite thing ever, but you know what? What about 2020 is our favorite thing ever? All of us are doing things and undertaking challenges that we never thought we would and that we don't really like all that much. Even if it's been a great spring for you, which my brother recently wrote this email to the whole family. We do these family group emails and everyone kind of takes turns every now and then updating on what's going on. My brother wrote one recently. It said, "It's been a great spring." And that's because he already works from home and now everybody's home with him. Both his daughters are home instead of being away. I mean, there are some people who've loved this spring and I think that's great. But for the majority of us, it's been a struggle and there have been unexpected challenges. It's the same for these pro athletes, and yet they're committed to making this work. And I think that's amazing. Nearly a thousand, more than 950 tests, including all of those guys who were chartered from Dallas to Hilton Head. They've all done what they need to do to stay safe and to keep the tour operational. Awesome. So that's great news.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Raptors have pushed the lead to 12. Look out, Serge! Give me a slice! Ibaka with the cram, and the Raptors take a 14-point lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Eric Smith, play-by-play of the NBA champion Toronto Raptors. They will have a chance to defend their title, and so great anticipation there. And, of course, they're completely out of their regular routines. They're not reporting back to Canada. Instead, they're all showing up in Florida to get back to workouts before they go to Orlando. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Recently had a chance to catch up with Eric Smith and wanted to get his thoughts on not just the Raptors, but the climate around the NBA. So I started there as the league has put together this plan to manage the virus and to return. What's your reaction?
I think the biggest thing that stands out for me, Amy, is if you had asked me, you know, 2 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, the first thing I would have said was, this seems like a very controlled environment, given the fact that everybody's going to be behind closed doors, behind the gate, in this little bubble. And I would have said in that same sentence, including, of course, the staff and everybody that works there, I'm sure they're going to have to sign off on some sort of agreement where they're not going to be allowed to go home for 4 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it may be, because it's going to have to be a contained environment. So I think now that suddenly information seems to be kind of leaking out that, you know, Disney employees are able to leave and come in and out, whereas players can't, it seems pretty contradictory. If you ask me, it sort of flies in the face of everything you're trying to do in terms of keeping everybody as safe as possible. And I appreciate and respect that there's a massive cost consideration into not only testing daily all of your players and coaches and NBA staff and referees and everybody else, but to me, if you're going to have all these people under one roof, how do you not regularly test, let alone confine hotel staff, restaurant staff, people that are in the banquet halls, the folks that are preparing the meals that are going to be prepackaged and given to the players for lunch and dinner, anybody working at the front desk and the cleaning staff and everybody else, just seems counterintuitive and counterproductive to not have everybody as safe as possible. So that, to me, is the biggest red flag, and I can appreciate why there might be then some concern amongst the players and amongst the various teams.
Do you think the concern is more about the safety, or do you think the concern is more about having to be stuck, quote-unquote, in one place for potentially a couple months?
I think it's a combination of both. if we're being totally honest. There's no denying that there's probably a little bit of stir craziness that is creeping into people's mind, thinking, you know, do I want to be in the same place for, you know, it might only be a couple of weeks if you're, you know, bounced in the first round, but it could end up being damn near 3 months if you make it all the way to the finals. So I think that there is no doubt that it's an element of being stuck in one place, but I would hope that it's more, I'm more concerned about my safety, my well-being, and my health, not just short-term, but long-term, because, you know, you and I certainly aren't experts on this by any means, but all of the reports I've read and all the experts that I've, you know, read quotes from and listened to and whatnot, most of them are saying, listen, we're assuming this is what we know right now. We're assuming this is the case. We're projecting, we think, X, Y, Z. I mean, the virus and the outbreak, we're only talking about a handful of months now. You know, even if we go back to before March and the NBA shutdown, even if we extended that kind of 6 weeks when things first started breaking out overseas and in Asia and whatnot, I would think that we're dealing with something that, Amy, is what, maybe 6 months at most old, 8 months tops. So to have even the medical experts and the health experts weighing in, giving their opinion, I think that's primarily what it is right now. It's opinion. I don't know if we have enough factual background and basis to say that, yes, we can say with certainty that this is what will happen to you in a month, in a year, in five right. years, if you had the virus, how it could potentially impact you long term, et cetera. So I would hope and assume that the concerns for anybody right now, even just the average Joe walking the street, let alone an NBA player, it's more the health impact, again, as I say, short and long term, as opposed to, well, I don't want to be stuck in a 4 or 5 star hotel in Florida with a pool and a golf course and catered food for, you know, a couple of weeks or a couple of months. You know, in the grand scheme, I wouldn't want to be away from my family for that long either. But at the same time, if I know that it's part of my job and I'm safe and healthy, then I think I'm okay. But if you're saying that it's part of my job and I'm not entirely sure if I'm completely safe or healthy, well, now maybe some red flags start to go up a little bit.
Eric Smith is the play-by-play voice of the world champion Toronto Raptors. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Knowing what you know of the makeup, the chemistry, the leadership, even knowing what Nick Nurse spoke about last week, how do you think the Raptors are equipped for this adversity that really no team can fully prepare for?
Yeah, I think they're prepared well, or as well as can be, based on the fact that, you know, all the cliche stuff would apply, I guess, Amy, in terms of the veteran savvy, the experience, the experience that comes with going through a long run last year and knowing what it takes to, you know, again, using the cheesy cliche of it's a marathon, not a sprint, et cetera, but looking more specifically, the Raptors were extremely banged up this year and yet somehow still managed to come out of all this after about 65 games and you know, roughly 2/3 of the season with the second best record in the East and the third best record overall in the NBA. And that's with having, I believe off the top of my head, Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, all missing minimum, I believe, 15 or more games, and Marc Gasol, Norm Powell, and Matt Thomas each missing 20 or more games. So the Raptors have been ravaged by injuries this year and guys coming in and out of the lineup, and not just, you know, fringe players, but we're talking about every single member of their, OG Anunoby is part of that, so not every single member, four of their five starters and five of their top six players in their rotation missing a minimum of 15 games. So now you're off for almost 4 months by the time we open up these camps and go back to the season starting July 30th. 4 months of rest, and you've seen the pictures online. Skinny Marc Gasol looks like he's in the best shape of his life. Kyle Lowry certainly looking trim and ready to go. And just, again, that rest and rehab for the bodies, I think that can only bode well and only be a good thing for the Raptors. And knowing that they're hitting stride with, again, a lot of veteran players that know what it takes to be able to turn it on or off when need be, as opposed to maybe some of the less experienced teams or teams that don't have the makeup of a veteran core.
It certainly seems like this because this format, and you talk about the what'll be a 4-month layoff by the time they get back to basketball, it lends itself to the potential for upsets like nobody's business. People talk about the NBA being more formulaic, maybe less than the NHL, or more than the NHL, excuse me, where the NHL, you can have so many different upsets because of the nature of the game. But gosh, I kind of feel like it could be a free-for-all in Florida.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I mean, when we factor in, of course, that there's essentially no real home court advantage now with everybody playing under the same roof on the same court, and on top of that, no fans. So you don't have the highs and lows of the road crowd battling against you, let alone the home team rallying you on the familiar sight lines and rims and everything else that you might have on your home floor. That's going to, to me at least, play a major impact. And then let's think of how ugly at times, and it's not just obviously basketball. It pertains to baseball and to hockey and even football as well, but how ugly some of the games can be in the first couple of weeks or even the first couple of months of a season, where it really seems to take a lot of players, you know, a good 5, 10, 15 games to really get the juices flowing and kind of find their stride and to kind of get that flow moving into a season. Well, what's it going to look like when you've only had 8 games? When you only have 8 games to get back after essentially a 4-month layoff, is that going to be enough to have you game ready, season ready for, oh yeah, by the way, now this isn't just game 9 of the regular season. This is game 1 of the playoffs. This matters. So that will be certainly the added X factor into everything, which then certainly plays into what you mentioned in terms of the possibility, perhaps existing more so than ever before in the NBA, of upsets being on the table. And I would argue, not that it couldn't happen in the West. You put a team like Portland, let's say, or, I mean, even Memphis, but any of those teams into an 8th or a 7th seed, yeah, I don't know if I see those clubs maybe knocking off the Clippers or the Lakers. But when I look to the East and think of a Philadelphia team that currently sits 6th, and they're a squad that I think many people believe could have won the East this year, and then throw them into the mix of an Indiana team that many thought wasn't going to be this good, well, suddenly they turned out to be pretty damn good, and that was without Oladipo for most of the year. Then, let alone a Miami team that is surprised, and a Boston team, and a Toronto, and a Milwaukee, et cetera. There's a lot of parity in the Eastern Conference where we could probably sit here and make the case for at least 3 or 4, if not 5 or 6 teams having a legit shot to come out of that conference. So it's going to be very difficult and certainly setting the table for potential upsets.
Eric, just about 2 minutes here, but in Toronto, a city that's known for being progressive, it's known for being diverse, what have the last few weeks been like in light of the protests and really a conversation that is being had in almost every home and every workplace in North America?
It's been intense, to say the least, and it's been a conversation that has always been there, but maybe hasn't been had enough. And I think it has forced everybody in this country as well to look a little bit closer in the mirror and look a little bit deeper into their heart to have those conversations, be they difficult or not. And I think, listen, as a white male Canadian, I think that I would say, Amy, even in the last couple of weeks, what I initially felt was I really need to listen that much more and need to learn that much more. But even then, in the 7 days after that, I think that even changed for me from, well, you know what? It's not just good enough to listen and to learn. I need to be more vocal. I need to use my voice. I need to be a guy that's not scared to use his voice, his platform. And when I say platform, I don't mean as a broadcaster. I'm talking about just my platform as a man, as a human being, whether it's my platform to family, to friends, to neighbors, to colleagues, or to the general public. We have to be allies more than we've ever been. And I don't want to speak for the black community here in Canada because, again, as a white male, that's not my role to speak for them, but to be with them and to be there for them and to be their friend, their ally, their partner. But I would say from the conversations I've had on some of my own shows and other things I've read and heard as well, the message is quite abundantly clear from people in this country that don't think this is just an issue that pertains to the United States or that this racial disharmony or the racism is only an issue pertaining to our friends and our neighbors south of the border. It's very much alive here in spite of our multiculturalism in Toronto, let alone in Canada. It's still very much alive, unfortunately, and it's something that we have to combat and react to and change in this country just as much.
Eric Smith, play-by-play voice of the Toronto Raptors. You can find him on Twitter at Eric__. There's two there, Smith. And it's interesting to hear from him and to think about the challenges for the Raptors, but also to hear from a friend north of the border and the way that those in Toronto are not just navigating the pandemic, but also the way that they are navigating these conversations that have come up and really been generated in the last 3 weeks, nearly 4 weeks, about race and social injustice and how we can make real palpable change. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I am thrilled with how many of you have already answered our show question, so we'll reset it for you. If you could pick one venue or one sporting event, so either one, whether it's a particular stadium, arena, maybe it's a course, a ballpark, whatever it is, or it's an event that you've always wanted to attend, or maybe you've been to it before, but you've never been as the solo fan. If you were the only fan at this event or at this venue, what would you choose? That would be an amazing bucket list item, wouldn't it? And so many of you are weighing in on Twitter, After Hours CBS. So you can send your tweets there. And Kevin, who's working with us tonight, will retweet your answers as long as they're intelligible. And then on our Facebook page, you're blowing it up per the usual. And so we'd love to hear from you there as well. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Thanks for joining us. Heading through our fourth show of the work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.